You always have to have a source of joy in order to experience that joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's the source of our joy. Well, we want to greet you this morning, those that are joining us online. We thank you for joining with us. We are celebrating with our youth this morning, giving God all the praise and glory as we enter into this Christmas season. And certainly we want you to have a safe Christmas, but we also want you to have good fellowship with those that you love, and we're grateful that the Lord has blessed us to be a part of that. Amen. We also want to announce that on next week, we're going to be having our church banquet. That'll be on the 16th, and it will be held at the, Ridgeview Center. Okay, right across from the mall in Lynchburg. And we're grateful for those that have signed up for that. Again, we're just thanking God. On next Sunday also, we'll be having recognition for those that have served in our church. And now some of them have retired, and we just want to tell them thank you for the work that they have done. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We pray that it be sanctified into our hearts, that we might give him glory. I want to talk about finding your way. Finding your way. You may be seated. Lord, again, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for allowing us to be in the house of prayer, that we can call upon your name and know that you are God. Know that beside you there is none other. I pray that you'd bless these moments that we have together, that you would be glorified and that we would be edified. And Lord, that the world might indeed be blessed with your presence. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Just about everything that you open up nowadays has what we call instructions or directions. If you follow the directions, it's almost guaranteed that as far as the manufacturer is concerned, you will be able to achieve a positive outcome. Like most of us, we have problems saying, "I'm going to follow the directions." But that's important for us because life has instructions. Life has directions. And you're looking at not just a book, but the book that has God's directions. How to do things. How to accomplish goals. Let me see the hands of those that want to accomplish goals in life. Want to go somewhere. I want to use the Magi, the wise men. I want to use them as an example or an illustration of how we can follow directions and find what we need for our lives. God may not reveal to you the same thing that he reveals to me, but it's going to give us the same outcome as where you know God better, you're able to follow his plan, and it's going to improve your life. Being a follower of Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. There is no other way for us to know God and to realize who God is except by following his Christ. Now, before Christ was born, there was a sign given to certain people. We're not certain as to all of the background about this. It was probably during the time of Daniel. If you've ever read the Old Testament, you've read the book of Daniel. Daniel received a lot of information from God, but the thing that should be noted, he had a high position. He was a chief administrator in not only the government of Babylon, but also the Persian government, and then following that, the other governments that preceded that. Cyrus the king was one of those that he served under, Darius the king. You go back and you read those books. But you'll also understand something else about Daniel. He was a prophet. He received information from God about the future. You say, well, what does this have to do with me living? Everything has to do with your future. You can't go back to your past. So it's all about your future, where you're going to go. And what I'm telling you today is that you need direction. I need direction and guidance for my life. So how do we unpack this? Understanding that Daniel was given that position for a reason, he probably shared with those who served under him and with him information about the coming of the Christ. And somewhere in that information, it was made known to them, there's going to be a star that's going to appear. And that star is going to indicate that God had allowed his son, the Lord Jesus, to be born. If you note from the text that we just read, they came looking not just for anybody, but they came looking for the King of the Jews. Isn't that interesting? King of the Jews. The Jews weren't even in what we might call a world power position at that time. The Romans were. But they came looking for the King of the Jews. Now, in the Jewish faith, it had been prophesied about the coming of the Messiah. But here are non-Jews looking for a Jew that was going to bless them. You might wonder, what is the relationship of Gentiles? I mean, we're all Gentiles. We're all non-Jews. Anyone that's not a Jew, you're automatically a Gentile. What is that relationship? Well, God was going to bless not just the Jewish people, but everybody. He wanted to pour out his blessing on all the earth so that all men would know that he is God and that he had sent a Savior into the world. Hence, the instructions, the directions that's needed. And where you and I stand nowadays, if you don't know where you're going, as chances are, anywhere will be okay. If you don't have some direction in your life, you're probably going to say to yourself, you know, whatever I do, that's going to count, and then that's going to lead to a life of misery, hopelessness, and even destruction. So today, what I want everybody in this room to do is to discover your star. Discover the light that God is showing you how you can live and how you can become someone that God can pour out his blessings into your life and guide you in the path of truth. So the first thing we have to do is we have to ask ourselves, what has God revealed to me? What has God shown me? Now, like the wise men, they saw a star in the east. You may not see a star in the heavens, but something may come on in your life. A light bulb comes on, and you say to yourself, you know what? I need to do something. I need to discover something. I need direction for my life. God reveals himself, and here's his main source of revelation, the Word of God. It speaks to us. Anytime you pick it up, it's going to give you something that can guide your life. But secondly, we have to ask ourselves, how committed am I? Am I willing to follow God's light? As I go through this, I'm going to give you five lessons today that we can learn from these magi or wise men. And I'm going to ask, are you wise? Simply going to ask the question, are you wise? And not, it doesn't mean that you know everything. It simply means you know enough to keep following. Let me see again the hands of those of you that have served God maybe 1 or 2 years. I mean, at least 2 years, at least 3 years. You know, did everything go smooth? Had some challenges, didn't you? What was it that caused you to keep going in your faith? The light. God shined that light in your heart and you kept going. And that brings us to the third point that we're going to talk about. Are you committed to the journey. It's not just finding the light, discovering the light, but it's also being committed to the light, saying to yourself, I am going to faithfully follow God through this journey of life. So these wise men, give you a recap of what happened. Here they come on their camels, and they came from a distance, and they wind up in a place called Jerusalem, and they ask the question to the officials and to the king's staff, where is the one that is born King of the Jews? They add further, for we have come to worship him. Worship. That is the center of everybody's heart. You're going to find something that you're going to worship. Whether it be an idol, whether it be a lifestyle, whether it be something that you've made. You can even worship a person, and it doesn't have to be God. Everybody is going to worship something. And I can tell you something, I tell you something else. Depending on what you worship, it's going to determine the outcome of your life. So you got to make sure that you are worshiping the right thing. It's all right to follow people as long as they know where they're going. But if you follow and they don't know where you're going, you don't know where you're going to end up in life. So as these wise men travel from a distance, travel from afar, I thought about it. They had to have some resources. I mean, you don't just pull up stakes and leave home and travel for at least 2 years without having some money in your pocket. Takes money to travel. They came from a distance, but not only did they come from a distance, they came equipped with gifts. Because when they did find the Christ child, they were able to depart or to give him the gifts that they'd received, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave that to Jesus. That's precious stuff. That was precious in that day, and it's precious in this day. Why did they give those gifts? Because they came to worship the Lord. So let's look at our first lesson that we learned from the wise men. They asked the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And the first lesson that we learned from them, you got to know your goal before you start the journey. What was it that led them to the east? That star shined. And it was bright enough to tell them, if you keep following, you're going to know your goal, and you're going to know from the beginning what you ought to be doing. There are a lot of people, they're going aimlessly through life and hoping and crossing their fingers that things are going to turn out right, but you're not following the light that God sent to guide you. You got to be able to follow him in order to find the true light. The Bible says in John 1 and 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's Jesus. He shined that light. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. The verse goes on to say in verse 12 of John 1, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You follow the light, you got to know what your goal is. You got to know where you're headed in life. We live in a world now where people think, if I just get rich, if I just make some money, I'm going to be happy. That's your goal? Well, what's going to happen when you get the money and then you find out you don't even have the strength to spend it? Amen. You know, the one person put it this way, we're working ourselves crazy to get money. And then once we get it, amen, we got to pay to get our sanity back. Yeah. Know your goal in life. These wise men were already rich as far as we're concerned in earthly ways, but they didn't have something to fill their heart. You got a lot of people that they have filled minds but empty hearts. They know a lot, but on the inside, they're craving for something. They're saying to themselves, I'm unhappy. My life is not complete. That's why you got to know your goal before you start with it. And then secondly, we find the second lesson that we have, and that is that we should be faithful in following the light that God provides. Be faithful. Don't just say, well, I'm going to be in it for a little while. Long as everything goes well, I'm going to go well. That's not how it works. If you follow Jesus, you find out that he's got scars in his hand, got a wound in his side. And that's because he had to go through some trials. I would stand here and I could tell you, oh, life's going to be easy. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Life's going to be wonderful. Well, you're not going to have any problem with God, but you're going to have some problems in this world. Because the Bible says that anyone who lives godly is going to suffer persecution. You're going to go through those things in life. And what does it mean to faithfully follow God in our life? What does it mean to faithfully follow the star that God has shown you? Well, we've given a verse where it says, they saw the star and they left. That took about a 2-year journey out of their life, 2 years of their own time that they went on a missionary journey to find the star in your life. You probably say to yourself, well, I've been serving the Lord a long time. I haven't gotten there yet. It's the journey that makes the difference. When you enter the path of righteousness, God is with you in that path. He will guide you in that path. So every day you get up, you're going to be inspired. You're going to be enlightened. You're going to say to yourself, you know what? I want to give my all for God because he gave his all for me. God wants to get our attention. We look at this troubled world that we're living in and we can see millions of people that don't know where they're going. They don't know. You ask them in common question that's asked, where do you want to be in life? I don't know. I just want to make some money. I just want to, well, what happens after that? Are you truly happy? I thank God for the joy that I've been able to find through Christ and my relationship with him. What about you? What about you? Are you wise enough to say, I know that the God I serve is going to lead and guide me each and every day of my life? So we know that we need to set a goal, know the goal before you start, then faithfully follow the star. But then the third thing is put the time in. Put the time in. When I joined the military, I had two options. One, back in the day, they had what was known as the draft. Some of you all have been in the military. You probably were drafted. That meant if you didn't want to go, they were going to make you go anyway. But I volunteered. I volunteered. I enlisted. I enlisted. Nobody twisted my arm. I said, you know what? I'm going to join the military, and that is what I did. These wise men, these magi, nobody said to them, you got to do this. You got to do this. Nobody twisted their arm and said, well, if you don't do it, there are consequences. Of course, there were consequences, but they said to themselves, I am going to commit, and I'm going to enlist. When you join up with Christ, I know of no one who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that he twisted your arm. He didn't say to you, you know what, I'm going to zap you if you don't serve me. It's voluntary. You enlisted. You volunteered. You said to yourself, I am going to be a follower of Christ. But you got to stay committed. I joined the military in 1971. I was discharged from the military in 1976. 5 years I served. And I got this piece of paper that said, honorable. What did that mean? I did what they told me. Went where they told me to go. Served how they told me to serve. And then they said, well done. You've served faithfully. I'm going to give you this piece of paper that says you are honorably discharge. Christians, you are not in the Boy Scouts. Let me say that again. You're not in the Boy Scouts. You're not in the Girl Scouts. You're not in some social club. You're in a race to serve God. You're on a journey that says, I am going to commit my life not to man, but to Jesus. So, That being said, I got to put the time in. Every day that I get up, I got to remember who I am. Every day that these wise men got up, and I'm telling you, not having their own bed to sleep in, sleeping on the ground probably every night, But they said to themselves, it's worth the journey. Nobody told us that the way would be easy. And they kept traveling. They got back on that camel or donkey or horse or whatever it was they were riding, and they rode on. What I'm saying to you, if you're going to be wise in Christ, you got to keep moving. You got to keep going forward. I know the way is hard. I know you get tired sometimes. I know you feel like giving up. But he didn't say follow your feelings. He said follow the Lord. And if you're faithful to the Lord, God is going to reward you. Every day they got up. They said, you know what they said to themselves? They didn't say it's a long journey. David, they didn't say this hard. They said we're one day closer to reaching our goal. Let me tell you what's going to happen in this world. One day Christ is going to come back. And every day that you get up, you remind yourself, not, well, I got to go through this and I got to go through that. No, no, no. You remind yourself, I'm one day closer to Jesus Christ coming back to this earth. I'm one day closer to him meeting us and greeting us to be with him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Never look at your journey as a burden. If you know you're serving Christ, never look at your journey and say to yourself, you know what? Today is cloudy. Guess what they realize? Even though it's cloudy, that light is shining somewhere. And we got to keep on moving past these clouds and get to the place where we know that God is going to keep leading us. Did they encounter problems? Of course they did. And matter of fact, when they wound up in Jerusalem, that's when the big problem started. If you notice from the verse that we read earlier in verse 1, it said that when they got to Jerusalem, here's how it reads. It said when they got to Jerusalem and when Herod, and that he had talked to the Herod, and when he talked to them and asked about where is he that is born king of the Jews, verse 3, I don't have it in the text, but verse 3 says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was trouble. That's a soft word for what really was going on in his mind. He was furious. He was upset. Why? He was the king, or thought he was. And how dare these people come looking for somebody else to be king when I'm king? He was furious. And notice it said, all Jerusalem with him. Herod the Great was a character to be dealt with. As a matter of fact, when he died, he had an assignment. He told the people, I want everybody to mourn my death. And when I die, I want other people to be killed in Jerusalem so everybody can be in mourning. What? That's how he was. That's the kind of person that Herod was. He cared nothing about people. He cared only about himself. So when these wise men came, say, hey, you all ought to know where the king of the Jews is. You should have seen the light. You should have known. Look at somebody, tell them, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Now, my point is this. You might know the Lord, but that doesn't mean that everybody else knows him like you know him. So just imagine in your mind, here they come riding up on the scene. Whoa, donkey. And so they get off and they say to the king, they say to all the people in Jerusalem, hey, we came to see the king of the Jews. And Herod kind of sits back on his throne and said, you came to see who? I'm the king. I'm the boss around here. And so he comes up with this little scheme. Comes up with this little plan. He says, now, let's find out from the prophets. Let's find out from all of the scribes. Let's find out where he's born. And they say, of course, where he was born. Supposed to be born in Jerusalem. I mean, born in Bethlehem. But by now, Jesus has already moved over to Galilee and somewhere in that region. So they don't really know where he is. They get general information about him. But he says, now, when you find him, when you can locate this Jesus, bring me word again so that I can come and worship him. You get the tone. That's the kind of person that Herod was. He cared nothing about Jesus. But you ought to know, you can't block God's light. Amen. Despite all the hostility, despite all of the people who were against him, God allowed his son to come into this world. I want to preach to you before I close right now. Despite of all the stuff that you've gone through, God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. The light's still on. So what you need to do, not worry about all the problems that you're facing, all the issues you got to go through, keep moving. Look at somebody, tell them you got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. They knew their goal. They knew what they wanted, and their goal didn't change. So they said to themselves, we're not going to change. We're going to keep serving them. They said, you know what? If the star's still on, we're going to keep following that star. To this day, the North Star is still, that's not the star of Christ, but the North Star, I'm just trying to tell you, that North Star is still an indicator if you're on target. If you can find a North Star at night, you can pretty much figure out where you need to go. Inside of your soul, God put a star. Inside of your heart, he has a light that is shining so that no matter where you are, you always know God is leading me. God is leading me. You got to follow that. As they put the time in, which brings us to the fourth lesson. Ask direction, notice, from the right people. Don't ask somebody that they don't know where they're going. Stories told, this people were on a trip, and they asked this guy, because he was on the corner, said, hey, can you tell us where the next town is? He said, I don't know. He said, can you tell us where the next gas station is? He said, I don't know. And they said, well, what do you know? He said, I know one thing, I ain't lost. The other point was, he wasn't going anywhere either. Asking direction of the right people. They thought they had the right people. They thought they had located the people that should have known. And so they came to the scribes. They came to Herod. They were asking the question, but they gave them only general information. They said, well, he's supposed to, in the fulfillment of prophecy, should have been born in Bethlehem. But the Bible said, when they left the presence of Herod and the scribes, the light started shining again. How many of you all have been in situations where you somehow or another got tied up with the wrong folk, wrong time, and you said to yourself, if I could ever get away from around these people, come on now, I've been there, you know, I've been there, and I thank God every time I get on this little stretch of highway down in Halifax County, and I remember being in a car with I thought was a friend of mine. And we're riding in a car. I'm 17 years old. I'm riding in the car with him. And the car's going about 130 miles an hour. And I mean tires as slick as the palm of your hand. And Red, I said to myself that night, I wasn't saved at that time. I wasn't saved at that time. But Red, I said to myself, if I could ever get out of this car, I will never ride with him again. And you know what? True to this day, I've never rode with him again. That should give y'all an indication. Pastor really is, I really am saved. Thank God he saved me. Amen. Being around the right people, surrounding yourself with people that can help you. Yes. Surrounding yourself with positive people. Lord knows there's enough negativity in the world. And the one thing I'm loving about these magi, these wise men, they had enough sense to quit fooling with Herod. Amen. They had enough sense to say to themselves, Miss Kabbler, I'm going to get away from around these people, and I'm going to find me some good folk. Amen. Everybody say good folk. Good folk. I'm going to hang out with them. Yeah. And when they left his presence, that's when the light came on again. And the Bible tells us that star that they had seen in the east guided them until the day when it stood over where the Christ child was. What I'm telling you is that if you would commit to serving God, he's going to put a star in your life and to have you to follow that until you get to the place where you can say, God, I thank you. My mission is accomplished. This is a long journey. This is not your first Christmas, and prayerfully it won't be your last Christmas, but you can't say, I have arrived, because it's a long journey. But if you commit to it, I guarantee you that the Lord God that has brought you this far is going to take you every step of the way. Amen. He is faithful. Amen. Then finally, I close with this. Don't tell everybody about everything. Don't tell, I know the choir just sung, go tell it on the mountain, over the hill, and everywhere. Some folk, you can't tell stuff. Are y'all in the building? Something you just got to keep to yourself. Hallelujah, somebody. That's good preaching. That's good preaching. As soon as people discover what your plan is, they're going to try to either figure out a way to get it from you. Come on, I'm being for real. Are y'all still in the building? These were wise men. You got to be, young people, y'all got to be wise. Don't be bamboozled by stuff that's online. Oh, yeah, it said free. That free is nothing but a hook to get you in. Matter of fact, last month I signed up for something that was supposed to be a free application to help me do different problems and different things that I needed to solve. It was supposed to make my life easy, and it said free. I got on into the program and the things I wanted to do and how I wanted to edit some of my sermons and make it easy for me to put them into a book. Guess what? It was complicated. And not only that, but Becky, when I picked up the email the other day, it said, we're going to charge you. Now I'm having to pay for stuff never did use, and they told me it was free. Some things you're better off without. I'm going to help some of y'all out. Help some of y'all young people out. Y'all think you need a whole lot of friends. You think you need, you said, well, yeah, that person at my school, they're popular, and I just want them to be my friend. And I'm going to tell them some of the things that I got in my life. This person, you better keep your stuff to yourself. You cannot tell everything to everybody, but here's who you can tell it to. You can tell God. You can tell him all. Matter of fact, he already knows. He knows how many hairs you got on your head. He knows how many breaths you're going to take in a lifetime on this earth. He knows all that. And when you talk to him, you're not informing him. You're just agreeing with him. Can I help y'all out? And the more you tell God about yourself, the more he can help you with yourself. Can I just tell you what my grandma said? He will bring you every step of the way if you just trust him. If you just lean upon him. If you just say to yourself, Lord, without you, I never would have made it. The Bible said when those wise men, when they saw that star, they rejoiced greatly. Every time you come to church, nobody ought to have to encourage you. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Let's give thanks unto the Lord. Nobody ought to have to hunt you and tell you, wave your hand to the Lord. You know what God did for you. Every time you had a need, the Lord was right there. And because he's right there, he's always, always available to hear your prayer. You got to tell it to the Lord. The Bible says, or the song says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Are you wise? Are you wise? Do you know your goal in life? Do you know also that you need to be faithful in following the star that God gave you? Because when you get to heaven, you're not going to stand before a pastor. No. I'm going to be in the same line that you in. You're going to have to stand before Almighty God. And you're going to have to give an account for what you either did or you didn't do. And then I'm going to stand back in the line. I'm going to say, I told them. They ain't listening to me. I told them. They thought I was fooling around. Told them it was going to happen. Ask for direction from the right people. Better yet, ask God. Faithfully follow. Put in the time. Put in the time. Know that this is a long journey that you've got to commit to. And then finally, tell the Lord all about your life. And I guarantee you, He'll take you every step of the way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for your mighty power. Thank you for the wise men that you've given us as an example, that we can look at how you led them through that star, how that they took information, and with the information that they had, they sought something better. And I pray that today your people would seek out good information, and then with that information, seek a better life, seek a better way of living, not giving in to the things of the world, but surrendering to you. We love you, and we thank you, God, for your great power and your great promises. I pray, God, that today somebody might come to know you. They're online. They've listened to this message, and maybe they've heard something, or maybe you just prompted them from a different scripture altogether. But, Lord, if they need salvation, would you save them today? That's my prayer, God. Strengthen all of your saints and help us to be faithful, that we might love you more and serve you better. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. We're going to ask everyone to stand as we give the invitation.